السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء, respected elders and brothers, what is the meaning of Ramadan to us? What does Ramadan mean to me? What is my outlook to the holy month of Ramadan? And that's what I want to discuss today. And when we speak about this topic, you generally have three categories of people. The first category of people are those people, their outlook to Ramadan is one of optimism. They see it as an opportunity to redeem themselves by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They maximize from the barakat of Ramadan and they try to become better individuals. For them, the month of Ramadan heralds in a new change in their life. That's the first group of people that you usually find in the community. The second group that you find are those people, their outlook to Ramadan is one of burdensome. They find Ramadan very burdensome. It's cumbersome for them. For them, the month of Ramadan kicks them out of their routine. I can no longer sleep on time. My eating habit has to change. My routine has to change altogether, and I'm not comfortable with that. I have to wake up early in the morning, have my early breakfast, after that rush to the masjid, and then hit the road for work purposes. And then I get home, I freshen up, and before I realize it's time to get into the masjid again for Taraweeh Salah. So for some people, the month of Ramadan, despite its auspiciousness, it does not signal a good message for them. That's the second group of people. The third group of people that you find in the month of Ramadan are those people for whom it makes no difference. Ramadan or no Ramadan, whether it's big night or an ordinary night, for them it makes absolutely no difference. The second group still continues with the ibadat of Ramadan. But the third group, they defy all commands of Allah. They don't fast. They don't perform salah. They do not make tilawah of the Quran. It's an ordinary month for them like any other month in the year. May Allah protect us from being in the third category of people. Now I want to expound further onto these three categories of people that we are discussing today. Let's try and understand their characteristics. Let's try and understand what motivates the people in the first group. Let's try and understand what are the barriers for the people in the second group. And let's try and understand what pushes away people from the holy month of Ramadan. Let's start off with the first group of people. The first question is, who are these people? And let me start off by saying that whilst the pious people do aspire to be in the month of Ramadan and enjoy its fruits and blessings, they are also ordinary people like you and I, sinners like you and I, who also aspire for the month of Ramadan. So yes, the pious people indeed, they look forward to the month of Ramadan. They have a lot of optimism. There's a great yearning There's a great zeal for the month of Ramadan. But there are also sinners like you and I who understand that the month of Ramadan is a season of change. And how many people we've seen change their lives by the ushering of the month of Ramadan? How many people coming onto Sunnah? How many people changing the dress code? How many people changing the demeanor? How many people connecting themselves to the Quran? There are so many people in the world out there. Ordinary people like you and I. I'm not talking about the pious. They are there. That's a given. Undoubtedly, they are going to maximize from the month of Ramadan. But I'm talking about ordinary people. And so the month of Ramadan heralds for them a new change. Their outlook to Ramadan is that, oh Allah, I've been waiting for this season to come into my life so that I can become a better human being. And indeed, that is why the month of Ramadan has been given to us. Ya baghi al-khayr aqbil, wa ya baghi al-shar aqsir. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the angels call out with the starting of Ramadan that those who are seeking a better life, those who are trying to reform their ways, here's the month of Ramadan. And at the same time, the caller calls out saying that those who are indulging in vice and evil, perhaps you need to put a stop to your ways and change the way you are doing things in life. So brothers, the month of Ramadan signals a month of hope for every person out there, for us to become better human beings, for us to improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the first category of people, you find the pious people, and you also find ordinary laymen, and also ordinary people, sinners like you and I, who look forward for the month of Ramadan. And the reason why I'm emphasizing on this point is that shaitan makes us believe that Ramadan is perhaps for the ultra pious. And the entire year you are partying, now you all of a sudden want to become a buzruk. You know, shaitan plays his games before he leaves also. So we should not be despondent, we should not despair from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has kept khair and barakah for every person out there, mashallah. So number one, in terms of the people, it's the pious, it's the ordinary people, young and old, male and female, educated and uneducated, everybody falls into that category. But the unique quality of this first category of group is that they all have a deep yearning for Ramadan. Their outlook to Ramadan is unique. Their outlook to Ramadan is that I'm going to get a chance to come closer to Allah. Their outlook to Ramadan is that I'm going to listen to the words of Allah in Taraweeh. Their outlook to Ramadan is that I'm going to shed off sins from my life. Their outlook to life is that I'm going to be connecting myself to the Quran. And so, when the month of Ramadan starts, they are excited. Can you see how important it is to do some soul searching as far as our outlook to Ramadan is concerned? And that is why I'm emphasizing on this point today that we all need to sit down and do some soul searching and ask ourselves that what is it that I'm looking for in Ramadan? What is it that I'm going into this month for? You know, if you've got the ladder on the wrong side, you are only going to climb faster towards the wrong end of life. If the sailor doesn't know where his ship is going, no matter how fast he's going in the wrong direction. So we need to first find the direction in terms of our outlook to Ramadan. That's the first group of people. I also need to highlight here that I mentioned that not only pious people yearn for the month of Ramadan, even the ordinary people, the sinners, yearn for the month of Ramadan. It is at this point I need to highlight the importance of making positive remarks to those people who are trying to change their lives. So you see somebody who you would not see frequent in the masjid in every other period of the year. If you see him on the first day of Ramadan, our approach is not, oh, now I can see Ramadan is starting. Yeah, I can see that's why you're in the masjid. we don't make such disparaging remarks. Rather, we uplift the person and we say, MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. May Allah accept. May Allah give us the strength. So our duty is to bring people closer to Allah, not to make them go further away from Allah. That is the duty of every believer. Every believer. A father should not make disparaging remark, at least now read namaz. All life you don't read namaz. Ramadan is here. If you make such disparaging remarks, you're only going to distance the person further away from the house of Allah than to bring him closer. So whilst the sinners like you and I are yearning for the month of Ramadan, it is equally important for those people who are in good stead in terms of spirituality that they bring people closer to Allah by making positive remarks. What a pleasant sign, mashallah. It's so nice to be in the house of Allah, isn't it? So make positive remarks. Do not chase anybody away through your demeanor or through your conduct. Yes, Allah has blessed you with the ability of performing 5 times salah, alhamdulillah. Yes, Allah has given you the ability to carry out many good deeds in your life. But that does not give you the license to make disparaging remarks with regards to anybody who's trying to reform his life. May Allah bless us all, ameen. That's the first group of people. The second group of people are those people who find Ramadan is burdensome. The reason why they find Ramadan is burdensome is because of their outlook to Ramadan. Simple as that. A man is willing to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, groom himself for work, and hit the road as early as 5 o'clock, travel 50 to 60 kilometers. Why? Because of his outlook to his job and his profession. It's his passion. It's what motivates him. It's what drives him. And so he's willing to do it 7 days a week, 24/7. Because it gives him pleasure. It gives him the thrill that he's seeking. So his outlook to his job and his profession is one of optimism. And so he's willing to wake up so early in the morning. He doesn't find it burdensome. Ask another man who doesn't wake up so early. Who probably wakes up 8 o'clock, 8:30, and then has breakfast and then goes to work. Hey, how you manage, man? How you manage? I can't wake up so early. It's the outlook. The outlook of that man towards his profession is different. And likewise, brothers, if our outlook to Ramadan changes, I promise you, you will find Ramadan more pleasant and more fulfilling for you as an experience. Subhanallah. So the second group of people, because of their outlook to Ramadan, they find it burdensome. And what we say to people in this group or in this category is that try and understand for who you are fasting. For every ibadah, there is an allocation of reward which Allah has promised. If you perform salah, this is your reward. If you give charity, this is your reward. If you give out zakat, this is your reward. If you perform umrah and hajj, this is your reward. But when it comes to fasting, even the angels do not record. Because Allah says, I am the reward for the fasting person. Allahu Akbar. Even the angels are baffled. They said, oh Allah, how do we record the deeds and the rewards of a person who's fasting? And the hadith says that Allah says, I am the reward for the fasting person and I will give him the reward. So perhaps they need to relook at their outlook to Ramadan and understand for who they are fasting. And perhaps they need to understand for who they are making the sacrifice. It is for Allah Rabbul Izzah. And perhaps they need to understand that instead of dragging themselves to the masjid for Taraweeh Salah, they need to understand in front of whom they are standing. Whose message are they listening to? Whose kalam are they enjoying? For whom are they standing for 20 rakats? It is not for the sake of the person who's standing next to me, otherwise it will look awkward if I don't go for Taraweeh. We are standing for the sake of Allah. For every letter that we listen to, Allah is giving us reward. So again, if we change our outlook, if we change the way we see Ramadan, it will have a different meaning for us. And perhaps they need to look at their priorities. And this is a very important point. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your priority, then everything else in life changes. لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرًا وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ وَلَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. Oh Allah, the poet says, if at the expense of sacrificing the world and the people and its contents and its glitter and glamour, I earn you, oh Allah, then everything is trivial and you are the most valuable person in my life. So if we change our outlook to Ramadan and we understand for whom we are fasting, for whom we are standing, for whom we are giving charity, for whom we are being kind, for whom we are doing all the sacrifices, we will enjoy the experience of Ramadan. So that's the second group of people. The third group of people are those people who defy the orders of Allah. And through my travels and experiences, I've met people of such nature also. So what, Maulana, if I don't fast? So what? And they are bold to such an extent, you would see them smoking, eating, drinking, publicly without any conscience. There are such people also in our communities. And that's where the danger of iman lies. Because the man is becoming bold in front of Allah. One is a person is committing a sin out of a weakness, but he acknowledges that he's doing wrong. And he's shameful, he has the remorse in his heart, he has the regret in his heart. There's hope for that person. But one is that man who breaks the orders of Allah and it makes no difference to him. For that person, there's a fear of losing the iman also. Because he is becoming bold and brazen to the extent he's commenting on the fundamentals of Islam. And if he's compromising salah, hajj, zakah, fasting, which are the pillars of Islam, very soon he'll be on the edge, on the borders of Islam. And if he continues in a similar fashion, he could end up on the other side of kufr also. May Allah protect us all. It's becoming a serious threat to many of our youngsters who are attending universities and who are at campus. I've interacted with many youngsters on campus also. Whilst there are those diligent youngsters who are focused on their studies and who understand the objective of why they are there, there are also those who have lost the track. And it is scary where they are heading towards. There is a thing called dhahni irtidad, which is called intellectual apostasy. Intellectual apostasy is that slowly you start to question the tenets of your faith. And you slowly question every aspect of your life to the extent you come to Allah also himself. And the hadith has covered this, that shaitan will play games with you. He'll make you question things like, who created this world? Who created this? Who created this? Who created this? Till the point you reach, and who created Allah? And so there's intellectual apostasy also taking place amongst many people who are in the pursuit of knowledge. So the third group of people are those people who defy the orders of Allah. We need to work on them also. We need to have a plan in place and how we can draw them from the third group and push them into the second group. And those who are in the second group, push them into the first group. And that's our effort in the month of Ramadan. Brothers, the month will come and go by. We all need to do some soul searching. Spend a few moments in solitude and try and reflect that I've got less than 2 weeks left. What is it that I'm looking for from the month of Ramadan? What is it that I want from this auspicious month of Ramadan? And if you know what you want, you'll be working towards that from now already. And you'll be in the first category of people who yearn to see the month of Ramadan. Lastly, in the last few moments, I want to discuss some of the barriers that applies to all groups. You have a spiritual high, and then you got a dip where you go down, you decline slightly, and then towards the end you have another incline. So how do you maintain yourself throughout the month of Ramadan? I want to talk about some of the common challenges that everybody faces. The first one is the completion of the Holy Quran. We know that it is the bare minimum that's required from us to complete the Quran once a year during the month of Ramadan. We know that. We understand that. So the trick the mind plays with us is that if you're going to read Quran, let it be for one khatam. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. And so you see many people, they start off very good, alhamdulillah. First juz down, second one down, third one completed, fourth one. By the first or sixth one, you'd burn out. Because we're not so much in the habit of reading Quran. And so we say, you know what? Today I read only 2 pages. Yesterday I read 3 pages. I'm not sustaining myself. I'd rather just close the Quran. And the mind tells you, if you're going to read the Quran, then it must be one completion, otherwise you're fooling yourself. And so many people end up putting the Quran back into the shelf in the month of Ramadan. I often say to people, even if you don't complete the Quran in Ramadan, then too, make sure that you read Quran every day. Even if it is few pages. The good part about it is, you've used Ramadan as an incentive to start the Quran. You will reach a few months down the line where you'll reach a completion of the Quran. But you started it in the holy month of Ramadan. Don't let that deter you. If the words are not coming on easily, or if it's taking too much of time and you are unable to give that time, reduce, but don't give it up altogether. Make sure that you read Quran every day. You will reach a point where you reach the end of the Quran. Even if it is 6 months later. But don't give it up. Read every day of the month of Ramadan. And to help you with that, brothers, we've got the smartphone in our pockets. MashaAllah. And this is very useful. You can turn your phone into a library also. There's a beautiful Quran app which is available on iOS for the Apple users as well as those who are on Android. The app is known as 13-Line Quran App. It's developed by Qamar Apps. Q-A-M-A-R. Qamar Apps. It's a brown color icon. It's freely available on both Android and iOS. It's a responsive app which allows you to read the translation of the verse, the tafsir of the verse, even the audio. You can even listen to the audio of the verse, and it has the option of having 10 to 15 bookmarks. So I suggest that you download this app. Once again, it's Qamar Apps, Q-A-M-A-R, Qamar Apps, 13-Line Quran. It's a brown color icon. You'll see it on Android as well as the iOS store. You download it, and you can read it. You're stuck in traffic if somebody else is driving. It won't take you more than 2 minutes to read a page. MashaAllah. Sometimes when the Quran is too far away from us, then we feel lazy. But yeah, you got it in your pocket. MashaAllah. But make sure that you read Quran every day of the month of Ramadan. It will make you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, brothers, I'd like to recap and end off with what I've discussed today. I started off by saying that when it comes to the month of Ramadan, we need to check our outlook to this holy month of Ramadan. And under this, I discussed the 3 types of people that you get. The first group of people are those who look at the month of Ramadan with optimism. For them, it's a season to change their lives. I spoke about what motivates them, what keeps them going throughout the month of Ramadan. Secondly, I spoke about the second group that you find. Their outlook to Ramadan is that it's burdensome for me. It kicks me out of my routine. And the third group of people are those people who clearly defy the orders of Allah. Clearly defy. They don't fast. They don't stand up at night. They don't read Quran. They couldn't be bothered. And lastly, I shared with you how we can maintain our spirituality throughout the month of Ramadan by connecting ourselves to the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May Allah herald in for us a beautiful change and a change that will bring us closer to Him. وما علينا إلا البلاغ.